fine.
Blog Talk Radio.
We're on the air now.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome to City on a Hill Radio Show. I'm Barbara Moore, co-hosting with Wayne Wood today, and perhaps we'll even be joined now and then with Diana Cruz, but she is traveling today. But we have a wonderful guest. We're so excited about Dr. Daniel Sheste being on the show with us today. And we always start with prayer. So, Pastor Wayne, if you would be so kind as to lead us into the Lord's presence and to pray for our time together and for everything that God lays on your heart.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, as we go into this broadcast today, we ask that you bless it, Father God, out of the abundance of your grace, Father. We pray, Lord, that we live in these perilous times. But, Lord, we know that you are in control, that you are the author and finisher of our faith, and that, Father God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, we can do all things. And we just thank you, God, for the privilege of broadcasting this show, of shining the light of your gospel to the audience who's listening, and, Father, to shining this light to a dark and dying world. We pray now, God, that you will bless this show, that you will anoint us, the hosts and the guests. Father God, anoint us to speak the words you would have us to speak, to bring forth the knowledge and the revelation that, Father God, you want the audience to receive. Father, we pray that, God, the audience will have open ears and, Lord, and hearts of flesh that can receive the word we give. And then, Father God, that these words we broadcast will be good seed planted in good ground and bear forth good fruit. Father, we pray, Almighty God, for an anointing and a blessing to this day, and we know your word will not return void. Let everything be done decently and in order according to your divine perfect will, that you might be glorified and not man. In Jesus' name we pray and we praise you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Wayne. And I know that you're going to have some questions and comments for Dr. Daniel Sheste, but what a privilege it is to have him here today. And he is a beautiful Christian man with a beautiful Christian family, and they came out of Islam, out of Iran, and a wonderful testimony to the Lord. And Dr. Sheste, would you please begin by telling some of your story and And then we also need your input and your wisdom on what's happening in Iran today and all of that. But to give our listeners some background first, and, you know, we have an ever-growing audience. Many of our listeners have heard your story and shared the podcast with others as well. So, but we always do have new listeners. So if you would, please, would you begin there? And thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. It's wonderful to be here with you again. Yes, we are coming from a very dark background. I was born in a Muslim family and encouraged by my parents to make myself available for religious things, rituals, and other things in Islam. And after I grew and entered university, I became a radical Muslim, the follower of Ayatollah Khomeini. And under his leadership, we overthrew the kingdom in Iran. Then after that, I was one of the three initially was invited to start the revolutionary army in Iran called Hezbollah. Hezbollah is a phrase from the Quran, chapter 5, that means the army of Allah or the party of Allah. And that Hezbollah in Iran started Hezbollah in Lebanon, that now they have captured the country, Lebanon. And sadly, even they have their representatives in the United Nations, a terrorist organization. And so after in the second year after the revolution, 79, I criticized our leader simply because he lied to millions of Iranians. Before taking over, he promised to his Muslim brothers that he would give them freedom to run the country. But after that, just he became a tyrannical dictator and said that freedom belongs to the West and Christian world. It belongs to hell. We cannot use it. Allah does not need freedom. Allah has already written everything about everything. And so we just follow Allah as a slave, and he's the master, and anyone just rules in his place is a master and absolute with absolute authority. But that did not match Iranian culture. You hear from Iran that every year people are giving a lot of sacrifice for their freedom because they don't like really that authoritarian Islamic regime, even though they call themselves Muslim, but they are strongly attached to their culture. So I was one of them criticized him, but that criticism caused me my life, as it is illegal to criticize leader in Islam. It's the penalty is death sentence. So I was caught and put in a death sentence, death prison, and waiting in the death row with four others. All four were killed, and I was able by the help of some others just to escape that death and eventually from the country Iran, and flew to Turkey, and that was in Turkey that in the second year the Lord revealed himself to me in a dream. And the following Sunday I went to an Iranian church made by Iranian refugees in Turkey, and I heard my dream from the pulpit, and that amazed me and also created some interest in me to read the gospel and eventually give my heart to the Lord.
Mm. How beautiful. How very beautiful. And then it was not too long thereafter when your wife and children, your daughters, came and joined you and became Christians?
Yes, she was in Iran. I was not able to tell her because if you tell them, you terrify them, and also they are obligated religious-wise to divorce you, because if you change your religion in Islam, divorce is automatic, and he needs, or anyone, or a male, they need to divorce their spouse, otherwise they put their life in danger. So I couldn't tell her. But I was sure that if he came and saw the differences in me and changes in me that would put an impact on that, on her, because I had experienced that in my relationship with other Christian brothers and sisters who came from Islamic background. So Lord opened the door for her and for my three daughters to join me in Turkey, and she was amazed just after meeting me that I was changed. My behavior was different, and I was joyful. And I scared her, actually. She thought I had gone crazy, because as a radical Muslim, you're not joyful. You do not really smile. Always you try to prepare yourself in, you know, with hatred, because you have to follow the footsteps of Muhammad. But that just shocked her, because I was coming from a radical Islamic background, and that was strange to her. So in the second week, she just questioned me. She said, why you're doing this? And so that opened the door for me to tell her. Even though I was terrified, I thought maybe she would hear that and she would be terrified. She would take the children and go back to Iran. But praise be to Jesus that he had a plan also for her. And even though she was terrified, she was scared, but she didn't go back to Iran. And then after that, week after week, she saw the change. That change was real in me. And without asking me, without telling me, in my absence, she was taking my gospel and reading it. And God was working in her life, and It's a long story. Eventually, after 3.5 months, she had a wonderful dream, too, with the Lord. She was walking with Jesus on a land and with several other ladies. They came to a steep valley all of a sudden. Lord and other ladies walked through it very easily, but she was afraid to fall down. But Jesus called her and asked her to not to be afraid, just take her first step, and she took the first step, and the valley was lifted up, and the whole land became level, and she walked to Jesus. As soon as I heard that, I jumped and brought my Bible and opened Isaiah chapter 40 and read the passage to her. Exactly the similar thing, you know, all valleys and mountains will become level because the Lord is walking in front of you. Mm. That just amazed her and shocked her. She started to cry. So that helped her in that morning to soften her heart toward the Lord Jesus and gradually open her heart to the Lord Jesus.
Well, that is so beautiful, Dr. Shayeste. And the our listeners can watch and hear you on the DVD, Exodus from Darkness. I actually rented that from Christian Cinema. I'm a member of that. It's they're Christian movies and documentaries and so forth. So I watched it probably four times over and over again because it was just riveting. It was so profoundly moving, and I wanted to learn everything I could from your story and from your teaching. And at this time, you're speaking all over the world, and you're teaching, and are you even pastoring? Tell us what's happening.
I'm not a pastor anymore. I was a decade ago, but almost my work is in evangelizing work. I'm traveling worldwide and America-wide, and teaching about Islam and other religions and cultures, and speaking about the superiority of Christ. Speaking about Islam, the conspiracy of Islam, and the threat Islam is posing on the nations in the world. So that's what I'm doing. And also I have live TV programs scattered in English, but speaking also in Farsi continually, Iranian language, to people in Afghanistan, in Tajikistan, and Iran, and also all those scattered refugees in all European countries and in America.
And who better to speak of this and teach of this than you? you have been there. You've been through it all. And
yes.
So, my goodness, what a blessing. Well, Pastor Wayne, I know you have some questions and comments.
I was just thinking, when I was listening to his story, I was reminded of Saul of Tarsus and how zealous he had been against Christianity and for, you know, the Jewish faith, and then the Lord got a hold of him, and what a mighty powerful Christian he became. And I thought there's a lot of striking similarities there, and the Lord reached out to you and he spoke to you. And, yeah, I talk to people all the time. It seems to be the general opinion of the world that people who think God speaks to them are crazy, and I even know some people claim to be Christians who are skeptical about personal encounters with God, and I asked them, well, do you think God is still in the God business? Has he retired? Is he not the same God that spoke, that reached down to Paul on the Damascus Road? Is he not the same God that empowered the disciples to turn Jerusalem upside down? He hadn't retired as far as I know. And I tell people, you know, even Christians, people who and they're probably Christians, they're just not alive to how powerful and awesome our God is. You hear a story like this, that God is speaking to these two people in dreams because he has a calling on their lives, folks. And the thing is, God's speaking to every one of us. He speaks to every one of us. It may not be a burning bush, and I kind of worry about some of those encounters, but it may be that still small voice. It may be that dream. It may be that friend who comes to talk to you. It may be a revelation in Scripture, and he's talking to every one of us. The question is, are we listening?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just I praise his name.
Amen.
He's a mighty missionary, and he's going to Islamic
Amen.
Countries, and Islamic governments are thinking that they can prevent the message of Christ, but unfortunately they do not know that Jesus is mighty. He penetrates the, you know, tall walls, and nothing can stop him of going to Muslims and show his love to them. So he's mighty.
Amen.
Work. I think we Christians need to pray to him and send him. He's a good goer, you know, he goes wherever we send him. Mm-hmm. We need to humble ourselves in his presence and say to him, Lord, go to Saudi Arabia, go to Iran, go to Sudan, go to Palestine and change these people and, you know, let them have the experience that Paul had and change their lives. And he's doing, I praise his name that he's even making children for himself and for Abraham in Saudi Arabia. Glory be to his name.
I mean, it's awesome.
Well, Dr. Shaste, you have such a heart of love.
Amen.
The love of the Lord has been shed abroad in your heart, and his love truly abides in you richly. And you have a heart of love for those that are suffering and burdened under Islam. And you know the suffering and the sorrow that they experience under that system, that religious and political system. Could you speak to that?
Yes, really they are in prison. Spiritually they are in prison because their prophet Muhammad was not able to give them any confidence and certainty about future. And himself died in uncertainty. In Quran chapter 31, verse 34, he says to people, nobody knows what will happen to any soul in the future. In Quran 47, verse 9, exactly the same thing. And in Islamic traditional books, spiritual disappointment. There is no certainty for future for them. So that's the spiritual uncertainty in their lives. And also, you know, the spiritual uncertainty is the root of uncertainty in everything. You know, people are not socially certain. They do not have that confidence politically, economically, you know, morally even. Islamic moral is very fluctuating moral system. You know, a sin is not seen in one place and it is seen in another place. You know, it's just a chaos, really, a moral chaos in Islamic countries. So people are imprisoned, really, in every aspect. You see that. And sadly, Islam has created a great pride in them. And when you talk to them, they just want to always say Islam is always winner, and they do not dare really to question Islam, because if you question in Islam, you have to lose your head. But unfortunately, they haven't learned that some people must be ready to give the head in order to put an end to its tyranny.
Mm-hmm.
So they are in prison, spiritually and socially and politically. We need to really feel this for these people. Only the love of Christ can change them. If you really deal with them in the same way Islam is instructing them, that's not going to solve the problem. And I know that clearly from my own life, that revenge and, hatred just was destroying my own life, my family's life, and only the love of Jesus Christ was able to change me. And this is what we Christians need, really should understand, the spiritual aspect of war against Islam. We need to really prayerfully bow down our knees and in front of Jesus to humble ourselves and ask for the salvation of Islamic countries and to release them from that absolute prison. It's a religion that in every aspect has put people in prison. I praise his name that he has given us opportunity to talk to millions of Muslims in the world, and many young Muslim girls and boys are coming to the Lord because they are able to see the great difference between the values of Christ and the Islamic values. And I have heard amazing confession from them that they have said, you know, many younger people, they have called our TV program and said to us, we want the God you are following, because that's God fully full of love, and there is not a little love in the God of Islam toward people.
Hi, Diana.
Hi, Ms. Barbara. Hi, Mr. Wayne and Dr. Jesse. I'm so glad I heard him, and I thought, well, I've got a
hello,
comment,
Diana.
If I may. Hey, it's kind of loud where I'm at, so I'll not stay long, but I wanted just to put this up for you to give us your perspective, Dr. Jesse. You know how important truth is, and, you know, there in the Middle East, there is that great lie about Islam. And what would you say to the American people? You've been here now for a while and seen how so many people embrace lies in leadership positions, and how damaging that is for a nation when they follow, you know, these lies. What would you give us as a warning?
Well, the Quran chapter 8, verse 10, and Quran chapter 3, verse 54 says, Allah is the best of deceivers. That's Islamic doctrine. It's a great part of Islamic doctrine. In Arabic, it's called taqiyya. That means you are allowed to deceive others for the sake of Allah and Islam. And sadly, this has penetrated the life of many people, even many, you know, secular Muslims, because that's the, you know, shadow of Islamic culture on people, and you have no choice if you're living in the area, you know, to align yourself with Islamic values. And sadly, you know, this secular humanism and leftist and New Age followers have created an altruistic, you know, belief. They say that everything is right, and eventually Islam steps in and says, that's wonderful, I am right too, with all my deception and other things. And so sadly, this deception is just, has made its root stronger in the Western countries, and many of our politicians are believing in those deceptions, in Islamic deception, and then also, want to believe that, because sadly, many of them are just far away from the Lord, and they do not know that if you accept any deception in your life, you're missing the, you know, goodness of the kingdom of God. And And that deception, unfortunately, is destroying the, you know, Judeo-Christian values in the Western countries and in non-Islamic countries. You know, Islam is coming and they are trying to penetrate politically. And now, I don't know if you're aware or not, Obama has employed five committed Muslims from Brotherhood, and they are strongly related to CARE America, Council of Islamic Islamic research, something. And so even, they have penetrated the most important organization in this country. And so that's all coming from deception. I personally believe that it could be the effect of these people in the White House that Obama decided to force Hosni Mubarak, the national dictator of the country, to step down and the country fall into the hands of tyrannical Muslim Brotherhood and Salafists in that country. So that deception is working, unfortunately, in Western countries simply because people are staying away from the Lord Jesus, and because people are staying away from the Lord Jesus, and politicians also, see that, they say, people are not caring really seriously for the culture of this country. Why should we care? And therefore, they are opening the door for committed Muslims in this country. And it is so sad to say that now they are even invading some of the churches. And I have experienced that in America, that some of these committed Muslims are coming and scaring people in the churches. I was speaking 2 months ago in a church in Florida. Two Muslim leaders came just into the church and frightened people, and they shouted there and saying to people, whatever Daniel is talking to you, he is lying, and don't listen to him, he is deceiving you. Quran and Islam is a peaceful religion. I was so fortunate that one of them had the Quran there, so I challenged him in front of people, and he opened his Quran, and he exactly discovered what I had put on the screen there was written in his Quran. And, instead of apologizing me that he was, degrading me in front of people, he didn't do that. He just in front of people shouted and said, I hope a Muslim very soon sends you to hell. So you see that they're creating, fear in this nation and in different non-Islamic countries. And just because of this deception, and we are allowing that, and the people in America and Europe are allowing these people to do that and create uncertainty in our societies.
Well, Dr. Shaste, they've infiltrated the media so that they are promoting the CARE people, at the arm of the Muslim Brotherhood here in the United States. One of their arms is CARE, and they are being given a lot of media time, and they lie all the time about the Muslim Brotherhood, and we know that the Muslim Brotherhood has infiltrated the Pentagon and the State Department as well, and I'm sure other places as well. So some people are aware that it's going on and are very, very concerned about this infiltration. And, I always like to remind people that the Muslim Brotherhood, founded in 1928 in Egypt, they are dedicated to bring down and to destroy Western civilization from within, which means that they are infiltrating every place of influence, that everywhere they can get in, they're attempting to do that. And so it's a great concern to some of us, but for the most part, most Americans are still totally unaware.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, I'm saying this, the people who think in this way to care for America, there are not many in this country. There are little, but those little people, if they humble themselves in the presence of Lord Jesus, they have might, they have power. So we need to humble ourselves, really. And I honestly am saying to you, I pray for America very earnestly And I cry, really, and sometimes to the presence of God, because this country has a strategic role in the world, but unfortunately many of our politicians in this country, their minds are corrupt. They are in a different world. Unfortunately, they are paid by this nation, and they are blessed by the blessing of this country, but unfortunately their heart is not in this country. They just love their jobs more than this country. I have said this so many times. So it's really for Christians that we need to humble ourselves in the prayer, in the presence of God, and cry to Him as Daniel cried to God for Jerusalem. We need to do the same and humble ourselves and to lift this country to the presence of God. This country really is in a dire problem.
Yes. Yes. Pastor Wayne?
Yes.
Do you have any input there?
Well, you know, I've been listening, and we are, what is happening is Islam is doing quietly and through infiltration and more or less peacefully, and I use that term very guardedly, what they were unable to do in the 8th, 9th century and the 15th century is they're going to destroy Western civilization. I mean, the Muslim advance got stopped at 800 at Tours, at the Battle of Tours in the West. It got stopped in the East, you know, outside of Vienna. And so what has happened is the Muslim civilization has declined since then. And now they're on a resurgence, a comeback. And what we're doing, they're using the very tolerance that is preached in the West, and I remember what Michael Youssef said, that tolerance is the last virtue of a decadent society. They're using our tolerance to destroy us, and what I see as a pattern developing is that when the Muslims move in, they're screaming tolerance and understanding, and they're the first ones to scream Islamophobia. Since 9/11, I just shake my head at how we're tiptoeing, trying to keep from offending Muslims. And I don't want to, and of course, we have our own guilt problems in the United States over slavery and over the internment camps and over the Indians, so we're constantly being reminded of this. And this is being used against us in America, some of our past mistakes. And what's happening, it's being used to destroy us, because what I'm seeing is the pattern emerge in France and in Western Europe, is that once you get a sizable minority of a Muslim community, they're no longer peaceful and calling for tolerance. I mean, in Great Britain, they're wanting, they're demanding that Great Britain adhere to Sharia law, and there are some, pardon my language, there are some fools in Great Britain who are willing to admit it. We have judges in America who are starting to consider Sharia law in adjudicating cases. This is a frightening development. We are being destroyed from within. They couldn't conquer us at Tours or outside the gates of Vienna. They're doing it peacefully now through our own...
Yeah, but fortunately, I call this age a passive age, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the passivity is the most killer and secret killer that kills. And unfortunately, they have learned their ways, and they know their culture now, that people have become passive and they can do, they have opportunity to do everything. So they are doing that. Now, as you mentioned, you know, Europe, just, 2 years ago, England accepted Islamic law as part of the judiciary system there, and very quickly, 85 just the Islamic courts emerged in that country. Now they are functioning in that country, and now even secular Muslims are complaining to UK government to deal with the problem, but they are not able to deal with the problem, because when Islam establishes itself strongly, and then it's not easy for you to fight against that. And as you mentioned, now they are even walking in the streets, and they are cursing Britons, and they're saying to them, go to hell unless you come to Islam. So
you're right.
But we need, as I mentioned here, we have, these are the choices we have, to speak out, not to be afraid, you know, of losing our job. You know, I know that even one pastor said to me that, Brother Daniel, whatever you spoke in my church, if I speak that, they sack me. And I said to him, brother, it's not the problem of your church. It's your problem, my dear brother, that you're afraid that people to sack you. We are teaching people to trust the Lord, but unfortunately we are behind ourselves. So this is what we have to be courageous, really. And this is an age requires us to be courageous and speak out. This speaking is so important. You know, this radio and every other radio is need to raise voices. People need to hear this more and more, and eventually to think, what are these people talking about? Let us just see what these committed Muslims are doing in America, and in that case, maybe some of them will wake up and stand for the country.
Two things come to my mind. One is in red in my Bible. The kingdom suffers violence, and the violence taketh by force. And two, is when Peter was hauled before the Sanhedrin, and he was forbidden to speak the gospel and preach the gospel. And we talked about this, I think, a couple of weeks ago, didn't we, Barb?
Yes, indeed.
And they threatened to do the same thing to him that they did to his Lord and Master and his Savior a few weeks before if he didn't shut up talking about Jesus. And Peter looked him straight in the eye, and he says, whether it's better to be man or God, you decide best for me. I can only testify to what I know to be the truth. We have an obligation before God. I said this last week. Let's say it again. Because your faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. Folks, if we don't stand and speak the truth, who will? There is a threat to Christendom. Now, we know that our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that our hope is in him, but it is our job to hold the fort, to occupy until he returns.
Mm-hmm. You know, Miss Barbara, I'm sorry, Mr. Wayne.
Ahead,
I just want to ask him for people that are curious about Iran and right now their plans for their nuclear weapons, armaments. Dr. Shieste, you know, some people do not think that Iran will seriously do with it what they've been saying they're going to do with their nuclear armaments. What are your thoughts on that?
They're naive.
I think Iran, that's my understanding. I was part of the government in Iran. I was in the plan in that the first and second year after the revolution, even though in that time secularism was so strong in that country. In that time, the plan was to destroy Israel and to destroy America. America is still called a great Satan. But how to destroy them was not just simply a word. That's not Muslims. When they say we need to destroy, when Quran says they must be destroyed, that's a serious issue. And they have to prepare themselves, as Muhammad did. You see, Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, had in his mind to destroy all Jews in Medina, all pagans, all Christians in Saudi Arabia. And he planned it, and also planned it economically to empower himself. And he did. He even looted the caravans to make himself rich and employ a lot of soldiers. This is the Islamic belief. And Iranian government is the most serious terrorist government in the world. You know, I love my nation. I have got 80 family members in that country. I pray every day for that country. And this man is part of my nation, but I'm just openly saying that he's a suicide bomber, President Ahmadinejad, our president of Iran. And he's preparing himself, the grand leader, Ayatollah Khamenei. They are just investing billions of dollars in nuclear weapon because today they understand that only the nuclear weapon can threaten the world, and with threat, they say they can lead people to Islam. Yep. You see that even these countries do not have nuclear weapon. Many of our politicians have already accepted Islam as a religion of peace, and Obama is just very much open to every Islamic evangelism, you know, opens the door for them. This is in a time that Saudi Arabia, the, you know, most supporter of terrorism in the world, doesn't have nuclear weapon, but has prepared the ground for politicians to accept Islam. Imagine if they have nuclear weapons. So Iranian government is so serious in providing that nuclear weapon and to pose threat on people and to destroy Israel, and they are so serious in that, and they are not going to give up. It's just silly to sit with these people on a, you know, negotiating table to negotiate with them. According to the Quran, it's sin to negotiate with non-Muslims,
yeah,
according to Quran chapter 9. But it says, Quran says, unless you want to destroy them, you have a manipulating plan to destroy them. Always Quran repeats that. So Iranian government is the biggest threat now, and now even has pushed Russia to come and help Syria, because Syria's dictator is about to lose, and so they are serious, and because of that they are spending millions of dollars in the world, and they have established their terrorist organization even in the South America to create a big threat for America here.
Well,
you know,
considering the fact that Iran and Russia have moved close together, and I don't know if you saw the exchange between President Obama and the Russian president, where it occurred just a few days ago, where Obama did not know that the microphone was on, and he assured the Russian that after the election he would have more flexibility and to be sure and get that message to Vladimir Putin. And they were talking, we discovered that they were talking about missile defense system.
Absolutely.
Did you see that exchange?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I did.
Oh, he was just talking about, you know, saying the same thing any other president would say.
Yeah,
The thing we have a problem dealing with, and it amazes me, America woke up to the terrorist aspect of Islam, you know, 10 years ago on 9/11. Well, it's been 11 years ago now. But I know, as a soldier in Germany in the 70s during the Cold War, I was dodging terrorist bombs. Literally, I left a place that got blown up by a terrorist bomb that was, I missed it by maybe 3 minutes. I heard the explosion. I just left the place and a bomb was in the mailroom at 5th Corps headquarters in late 75. These people had Islamic ties back then. It was Red Army faction. They were working with Black September. They were all together to disrupt. We've had people forget about Leon Klinghoffer was tossed off the Achilles Laurel in the 70s. He was an American Jewish, was killed by Black September Islamic terrorists. There were two Navy frogmen who were murdered on the runway, I think at the Cairo airport in the 80s. This goes back. Yeah, I mean, Muammar Gaddafi blew up a Berlin cafe in the 80s during Reagan, and that's why he sent the 7th Fleet down to the Gulf of Sidra. We think this all happened just with 9/11. This has been going on. Actually, the first time an American president sent U.S. troops into combat without a declaration of war was Thomas Jefferson,
yep.
I want to say 1803, to Tripoli, when Tripoli pirates, Muslim pirates, were kidnapping Christian sailors and selling them into slavery. This has been going on for hundreds of years. And what you've got to understand is, take a look, and brother, if I'm wrong, correct me, take a look at all the photographs of the suicide bombers in Israel, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, all across the world, these body parts just scattered where people became human bombs to get themselves a place in heaven, 70 virgins, and eternal martyrdom in the name of Islam. And then take a look at Iran, and you have a government composed of people with that same mentality. That's why I call Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, Mahmoud, I'm a nut job.
Yeah, I'm a nut.
Because this is a man who is suicide. He will take Iran, and if he has to, he'll make it a suicide bomb. If
well,
he has,
I have a question. I have a question.
And that's what you got to realize. It's hard for, I'm sorry, I'll be quiet in just a minute, Barb. For us as Westerners, who are not even willing to risk our jobs for our faith, it is hard for us, to most of us, to understand people who are willing to die for theirs.
Yeah, it's true. It's an Islamic issue. You know, Islam is encouraging this. You know, it's not the September 11 others, just Islam. You know, there are stories, heartbreaking stories that happened throughout the Islamic history. You're right about that. But unfortunately, Miss Barbara said that we have to really stand awake. And unfortunately, our politicians just are selling us out because of political correctness. And unfortunately, this is not good. That we have to really pray and we have to speak out.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think it's possible that that President Obama is destroying this country? His policies are destroying this country. There's no doubt about that. I mean, the facts speak for themselves.
Yeah, give him four more years.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry.
The thing is, I think he has a purpose with this, with his plan, and it's not just to destroy this country because he likes socialism and communism and has a thing against what he perceives as colonialism and so forth. I believe that you know, since the Islamic belief is that there must be chaos to bring in the 12th Imam, I think that he thinks he's part of that. Is that a possibility?
I'm not sure about that. I don't know really, but what I know, he really wants to, America to disarm itself in the world and just become a tiny, powerless country in the world. This is what I have seen from his words and from his reactions and from what he has done in this last 3 years. And it's very obvious for me that he never wanted practically to see America strong in the world and be able to protect itself and to defend itself. What I really see from him, and it just this man is the president of the most powerful country in the world. He's speaking to the Russian president, that's very cheap and, cheap talks there. It just really amazes me. This man has many things behind the curtain, has not revealed to American people, and sometimes he's not able to control himself. He reveals, reveals that in one way or the other. This is what is my understanding, really, that his leadership, his philosophy of leadership, tries really to bring America down from its position and just become a powerless country in the world. And unfortunately, if America is powerless, and then that's the end of America, and it's just the establishment of an authoritarian, tyrannical Islamic government in this country.
I just can't help believe in moments like that, unguarded microphone and other moments that have happened, particularly within the last year. I cannot help but believe these are God things.
Absolutely.
What I call God things, to slip the veil, to let those who have wisdom understand, those who have ears hear, and those who have eyes to see. And I keep praying, that the fowler gets trapped in his own snare. And, because there are still millions of Americans praying for this country. Ruth Graham said, it's been said by Jerry Falwell, that if that if God spares the United States of America, he will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And to a point, I agree with what they're saying. America has fallen and is falling into decadence. But the one thing America has going for us that Sodom and Gomorrah did not have going for it, you know, God could not find 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah. There are millions of Americans praying for the United States. And, you know, and if you took a proportion of population, how many people were in Sodom at the time, we have a much greater percentage of people who are still on our knees praying for our country. And I think that's the only thing that's withheld God's wrath of judgment. And
yeah.
I keep praying that, you know, God uses things like Barack Obama to wake up the righteous that hey, we're falling asleep.
Yeah.
And this has been one of the most violent wake up calls I've experienced in my lifetime. And
yeah,
I'm hoping. Go ahead. I'm sorry, sir. Go ahead.
Now this is one part of my prayer. I pray that every day. I said, Father, the lie and deception is so subtle in the world and in America. It's not easy for us to convince and persuade people. Almighty God, just let these, you know, deceiving people to reveal their own deception to people. And so people can see that and they can care for this country and can care for God. You're right, you know, this, you know, great leaders, Obama and others, you know, they are not able to, you know, to help themselves to hide many things, and eventually they will. They have been revealing some of their characteristics to people, and amazing people. And also, that's an amazing thing that you mentioned, and I believe that there are people in this country who are humble and humbling praise to the Lord. And I tell you, America has survived so far because of these faithful brothers and sisters in this country. Otherwise, there are people in this country that they can destroy this country in a day. And we are living here. We have still freedom. It's the grace of God and the faithfulness of our brothers and sisters who are in this country.
Amen.
Yes,
keep
indeed.
Praying. Keep fighting. Put feet to your prayers. You know, it's not just prayer. You got to get up and do something. Let's pray.
That's right. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. Amen.
Amen.
What, Dr. Shaeste, I don't know whether I learned it from you or I found this information elsewhere, but I have the idea that when we desire, when the opportunity presents itself and we see someone that we believe is Muslim and they're by themselves, that's a good opportunity for us to speak to them. And I was wondering if that's true. And then also, if you have any gospel tracts in Arabic or in a language that would be better for us to distribute when we do this, when we talk with someone.
I haven't got track, and as I mentioned to you before, I've got three books. One of the books called Christ Above All, it's a simple English, and it's a conversational, you know, evangelistic book to talk to every group of people. It compares 9 beliefs in the world, including Christianity, gives a good introduction about each religion, and then raises many questions. What kind of questions, in what time to ask people and challenge them to think and, you know, to investigate and to lead them to decision-making. This is a book. It's available in my website. And also I have got many, many TV episodes in English, and people can go to YouTube. You just, you know, write my name there. And write Daniel Shaeste and TV. They will get a lot of things that they have compared concerning Islam and sometimes other beliefs with the values of Christ. They can help. I do not have really little track in other languages and in English. Just my three books. One is an evangelistic book, as I mentioned to you. The other one is just compares Islam with Christianity in all levels. It's called Islam and the Son of God. And the third one is my biography. It's just an amazing story that speaks about radical Muslims in Iran and radical Muslims in general, why they want to destroy non-Muslims and how God mightily can work in the midst of this radicalism and save some people for and bring them into his kingdom.
So they could access by typing in Dr. Daniel Shayeste. Is that Shayesteh?
Yeah, and also, you know, for TV episodes, maybe they just put a TV episode there, and so they can get a lot. There are valuables, you know, the talks I have done in TV there, in if they can, and people also can contact me. I can lead them. You know, they write to my website. I can lead them if they are not able to find it. I can help them to find it.
Okay, that's good information. I appreciate that. Diana, are you still with us? I think she has muted herself. Well, yeah. Pastor Wayne, do you have any further questions or comments for Dr. Shayeste?
Well, I just think it's an honor to meet you and speak with you, sir. And my prayers
so
to be with you. Because I know that the authorities in Iran are not happy with what you're doing, and
so
look, you need our audience to keep its prayer, folks. I do believe one of the greatest threats to Christianity today is Islam, and I've had theories over the Antichrist and the origin of the Antichrist over the years. But if I see the spirit of Antichrist alive in the world today and the greatest threat to Christianity and our way of life today, it has to be the rise of fundamentalist Islam and the jihadists. Folks, I'm not saying this is going to be the seven-year tribulation period of the Antichrist or the Antichrist, but there is a spirit of Antichrist. Hitler was an Antichrist. Nero was an Antichrist. This Islamic fundamentalist zeal is the spirit of Antichrist as it manifests today. This is our greatest spiritual. Go ahead, sir.
It is. I mean, it is even more than that. I mean, if you want to look at the Bible, it speaks about that, and it says that the Antichrist will come and speak from the temple, and we know that they have occupied the temple there. And our Lord also speaks that in the last days, many of them will speak in the churches. And we now see that even in America, churches have opened themselves. There are some churches open themselves to Islamic evangelism, and imams and leaders of mosques go and praise Allah in the churches. And also the characteristics that the Bible is speaking about Antichrist is absolutely the Messiah of Islam, you know, the last leader of Islam.
Last
is absolutely the negative, you know, whatever Bible is speaking about that Antichrist is just matching whatever Islam is speaking about that.
It's scary. If you didn't have the hope of Christ,
coming
be
to
afraid.
The end of our show, unfortunately. But Pastor Wayne, you understand now why I was so excited to discover Dr. Shayeste was going to be with us. And Dr. Shayeste, we have about a minute left, and I would so like for you to close us in prayer, and if you would, also in your native tongue as well as in English, if you would. If you would usher us into the throne room of our glorious God and Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yes, it's a pleasure to be with you. I'm praying first in Persian and then in English. Ey خداوند جلال، تو رو شکر می‌کنیم به خاطر این فرصتی که داشتیم. ای خداوند، دنیا داره با جنگ روبروست و خیلی از رهبران برای جنگ تشنه هستند. ای خداوند جلال، تو در میان این کشمکش ها خودت رو ظاهر کن، به خیلی از انسان ها و اونها رو نجات بده در نام عیسی مسیح زنده. Oh Father, we praise your name for this great opportunity we had here. Father, we know that you are in control of everything, and it's exciting that the coming king is going to come and to show his glory to the world, Father. Just before that, I pray that you touch the heart of many people and save them. And also, mighty God, just reveal yourself to the churches in America and in the Western countries in the world so they can wake up and praise your name seriously, Father God, and dearly show their life to you, Father God. We praise your name. We want to serve you and lift your name in the remaining parts of our life, mighty God. Lead us with your spirit and truth. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Shea Este. Thank you, Pastor Wayne. And listeners, we thank you for joining us today on City on a Hill Radio Show. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you, and may God bless America. Thank you. Bye-bye.